Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. He's speaking to us from Vancouver. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you and good to be with our audience. And as usual, the markets are fascinating.
Bob, we have a number of listener questions today. The first one comes from Henry in El Paso. He asks, is GDXJ oversold enough to be a good buy right now? What is that?
GDXJ is a gold share index. It used to be smaller companies, but over time they've grown to be bigger companies. And, they were really washed out in the fall, and we put on the accumulation. And the advice on gold stocks since has been to have a pretty good position and to add to the position on the dips. And this is where our research comes in, as we're pretty good technically at identifying the dips. So it's likely the early stages of a multi-year bull market for gold stocks. This does not mean that it's a multi-year bull market for the price of gold in U.S. dollars. Our research is a little different. We base it upon earnings of the gold miners. And we note that when crude oil falls relative to gold, energy costs are about 60% of gold mining. And crude has fallen about 70% relative to gold over the last 6 months. So even for existing mines now, the profitability should be increasing somewhat. So this is a different view. We are in a early stages of a multi-year market where gold costs of mining will be declining relative to the bullion price. That puts earnings into the miners. And instead of buying them on the now ancient speculation that gold stocks go up because the dollar goes down, no, this is investing based upon an improving stream of earnings. I kind of like the story. And thanks for the question, Henry.
Question from David. It's a multi-stage one. Bob, do you want to go through the whole thing or answer
it
in stages?
Let's just do it by natural steps here.
Okay. So first part of the question from David, where are we in terms of your expected end of the financial bubble? Has it really begun, halfway done, or a long way to go?
Stop. The bubble for equities blew out with considerable display in January 2022, and it's been weakening since. As a matter of fact, the first half of last year was the worst hit to the 60-40 combination of balanced portfolio for stocks and bonds, the worst hit since the 1930s. That kind of tells you something, doesn't it? And you've had a natural rebound out of the oversold crash last fall, and this has sort of continued. The best action has been in the NASDAQ, and it's now getting overdone. S&P and indexes were held back because they had bank stocks. I mean, we all know we had problems with bank stocks. So, and even in Canada, the banks are not behaving very well. So, there's some positives out there that are helping keep things together. One is the employment numbers, but I think those are on the rebound out of the disastrous lockdown due to COVID. So it's let's explain it as people trying to get back to normal. And so, but on top of this is the fact that in a cyclical basis, the yield curve, which is the difference between long rates and short rates, it got inverted. And on our charts back to 1857, every inversion of the curve has been followed by recession. So that is sort of engraved in stone. And so what one does is watch for the financial distress that would be preliminary to a recession. And so far, credit spreads and things have been okay. But problems are often discovered in the fall, and there are problems because you've got the banking system is running out of reserves. And so the first year after a bubble, which is this year, you could expect some runs and some bank failures, which we've been getting. And then it's the second year after a bubble that the bank failures get very big and very interesting. So we're in year one, where the bank runs and disasters could be modest, but dislocating. So I think things in the fall, credit problems could be discovered. And then he wants to know about when you're near the end. Good God, it's going to be a few years from now and an absolute disaster. And in anticipation, I guess, of this question, in my notes made years ago out of the Economist and Barron's on a weekly basis, I made notes on the bottom process in July 1932. And so by the time we get to the equivalent, it'll be readily recognizable.
A question from Malcolm, and again, a multi-barreled one here. The first part of the question, I'm under the impression that the end of a financial mania will result in deflation in assets.
Yep. Okay, let's stop there.
Yep.
Yes, true. Everything gets hit, but it takes a few years to get there. Oh, I'm sorry. Everything gets hit relative to gold. That gets us back to the gold story. Yeah. Okay, let's continue.
Will we see lower food prices anytime soon?
Well, the soon is hard to determine, but one thing about advancing prices, it brings more goods and services onto the table, and then it also reduces consumption. So this is probably underway. And the other one, there's an old saying I've been mulling around, and that is that when you're in a sharp price inflation, the hardship is due to shortages and uncomfortable prices. And then in a year or so later, all of a sudden it flips and you have falling prices, lots of supply, and people out of work. So then you then have the hardship amidst plenty. And that could be start to become visible maybe this winter or something like that. But all of these surges in inflation, every one of them have burned out. So,
and Malcolm goes on here. Basically, he's talking about food inflation, how things have gone up, it seems, 100% in the past 5 years. Nobody's saying much about it. He's stopped buying a lot of things. And do you think there's been a lot of price gouging and exploitation?
Yeah, price gouging and exploitation always goes with a rapid rise in retail prices. That goes with the territory. The large food companies have been reporting big gains in their earnings statements quarterly, and that's just the way it's going. But there's nothing, the only nefarious item out there is are the central banks, who have this habit that of using any excuse to force extra credit and currency into the markets. Oh, God, they had COVID. That was wonderful. They just posted it out like you wouldn't believe. So the a large part of the problem is the central bank, which feeds in chronic price increase. And then you have this chronic price increase made suddenly very dramatic by a cyclical rise, as well as further, as I say, government idiocy with the COVID shutdown. So very wild and distorted times, but it will all eventually work itself out. And where food prices may not fall. The key thing is they stop going up, so that maybe a year or so from now, food price inflation is 0 to 1% or something like that. So, but they won't be going down. But the main thing is the relief comes in when they stop going up.
Well, the pressure on small business, perhaps illustrated by the Donnelly Group based in Vancouver. They run pubs and restaurants across Canada. They've filed for bankruptcy protection. They owe $20 million, they say, mostly caused by the pandemic. And now, of course, high prices are keeping people out of pubs and restaurants.
Yeah, I'm sad to hear of a business like that going out, you know.
We'll have more with Bob Hoy as we take a look at some headlines.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Bob Hoy. Headline, top property owners are credit worthy, but they might default anyway. Wall Street Journal.
Yeah. I think the headline writer, they had a fun with that one. It's at the moment, they look credit worthy, but in an instant, they are not credit worthy. That's the gist of it. So,
well, we're seeing people own office towers in places like San Francisco just walk away.
Oh, isn't that something? But it shows, you know, when you read those articles, Jim, you've got the equity owners in the building who get hit, but also it's the mortgage owners at that instant get hit as well. And I've mentioned this before, but Jim Grant at the Grant's Interest Rate Advisor thing, which does outstanding research, oh, I think it was published in 2006, 2007 at the height of that real estate market, and he used the Excelsior Life Building in Manhattan, and that's his outline. Equity people go broke, mortgage financiers at the time go broke, and it takes a whole chain of them. And that was all through the 1920s, 1930s, and 1940s. And then that's the one that, eventually whoever bought it in say, the late 1940s, it took them maybe a decade before they got on side with rents and tenants and all that sort of stuff. And then it was Joe Kennedy, the founding father. He bought the Chicago Showmart building, I think, in the 1940s. But that thing didn't show anything positive until well into the 50s. So the real estate cycle on the downside, it can be 10 or 20 years or, you know, in that order.
Headline, J.P. Morgan sees rise in corporate defaults in Latin America.
Oh, yeah. It appears first in lesser countries where balance sheets are a little more fragile. The central bank doesn't have enough reserves, so yeah, this is just moving along that the failures are out there, and then the failures eventually end up in the financial capital.
Well, yes, this next headline would follow up on that. Over $100 billion of U.S. corporate debt trades at distressed levels.
Yeah, and distressed levels means extremely low prices. And I'm going to follow that one up and see if I can find actually a price index on some of that stuff, because it's, and eventually, you know, many junk issues just go no bid. I mean, there's no market for this stuff because they're going into default where all that, none of that debt can be serviced. And I remember I've got an article published by a brokerage investment firm in New York in 1933, and I think one of the subtitles was, "Will They Ever Learn?" And it goes through that in a boom, people buy risky debt, and in a bust, they get hit. And that's the question. Will they ever learn? No, they never will.
Headline, Eurozone factories are in trouble with activity shrinking at fastest pace since pandemic.
Yeah, that's sensational. But hey, again, I didn't show any numbers, but the factory activity there is shutting down fast.
A housing bust comes for thousands of small-time investors.
Yeah, I take that one as not the big home builders. I take that one as your modest development firm, maybe building four or five houses at a time or something like that, and then all of a sudden they're stuck with it and they can't get out. So this, and there are many of those, many in Canada and the U.S. So it's again, a telltale on what's going on.
Headline, tech layoff mania sparks 200,000 job cuts as new grads pursue careers on Wall Street. And I'm just wondering, Bob, those jobs maybe they're looking at in banking may be replaced by AI or taken over by AI.
I don't know about AI, but the key to that one is they were turning to Wall Street for jobs. And Wall Street has been very frothy, and the next direction is down. So again, they rush into a hot industry just before it starts to cool off. I've seen that. We've seen that before, where in a bull market, the graduates in law or accounting or commerce goes into the financial markets right at the top.
Just like people got into real estate just at the top.
Yeah.
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 Bob, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Yeah, Jim, good to be with you and with our audience out there, and we look forward to next week.
My guest has been market historian Bob Hoy. He's the chief investment strategist for chartsandmarkets.com. If you have questions for Bob, you can send them to info@howstreet.com. You can find us on Twitter @HowStreet. We're on Facebook and BitChute. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.